You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Hey, today I'm going to be talking about how do you, and I just make a note of this, how do you keep your miracle in the making? How do you keep the miraculous that you have believed faith for? How are you going to keep it in the making? How do you keep it moving in your life? And I'm going to show you the power of your thoughts this morning. Because the way that you think will determine what you bring out in your life. In other words, whatever I perpetually think about, I will bring into my life. And when you apply that to the will of God and the word of God, there's absolutely nothing can stop you, nothing can hinder you, and you can succeed at everything that God wants you to succeed at. Let me give you two verses. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, or a woman thinketh, so is she. In other words, you are who you think you are. In other words, the way you think about yourself determines the character and the kind of person that you would be. So if you want to be a successful person, you have to think in a successful way to be that successful person. Can you say amen? And even though we're talking about the mind, the power of your thoughts, I want you to remember this, that it's because of how people think they don't believe in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And when people begin to believe, what happens is God begins to illuminate their minds, give them understanding, and then they get faith. So the way that I think determines the way I believe. And the way I believe will determine how much success and victory that you'll experience as a Christian in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So I want you to look at a very familiar verse. It's over in Philippians 4:8. And look at this verse. You're going to love it. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Listen to me carefully when I say this. Positive thinking promotes faith. Negative thinking promotes carnality in your life. When I use the word carnality, let me explain what the scriptures say about carnality. Two references. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:14 says that the carnal-minded person cannot receive anything from the Spirit of the Lord, for it is spiritually discerned. So when you're thinking wrong, you can't receive from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said this. He says, I fed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not able to receive solid food. And I'm not sure you're going to be able to receive it later, because he said this, because there's envy and strife and division among you, you're acting like mere men. So Paul's saying, I wasn't able to give you what I wanted to give you because of the way that you were thinking in your life. I want you to make a decision today that I'm going to think in a way that causes the kingdom of God and the will of God to reign in my life. Now, to do that, it's going to take an effort on your part, because whatever you think about, you will bring about in your life. If you think about your fears, you'll bring about fears in your life. If you think about the promises, you'll bring about promises in your life. If you think about love, you'll bring about... It's what you think about. This is very, very, and you'll find this is true with every type of sport. People understand that the way you think will determine your performance. You got to go at it as a winner, not a loser, if you're going to win in Christ. Amen? Now, I want to give an illustration that I think you ladies could identify with. How many have had this frustration where you try to watch the TV set, and your husband goes, baby, you got to turn on that remote and that remote and that remote. And the ladies just give it to you. They have what they call a universal remote. Now, what that means is when you get a universal remote, all the other remotes are controlled by it. The way you think controls the way you believe. The way you think controls the way you feel. The way you come on. Yeah. Now my wife, she lets me handle the controllers. I don't know why I didn't buy a universal remote. Probably because I don't want her to handle the remote. But the truth of the matter is, the way you think is, how do I say it, a universal remote. The way you think will determine whether or not you can be a champion or a loser. The way you think will determine whether or not you can have faith that soars or faith that doesn't soar. It's the way that you think. So whenever we face our life and we're looking at these problems, first place to do is start with your mind. That's why Paul said, by the renewing of the mind, you will be able to test and prove what is good, what is acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But that won't happen until you change the way you think by the Word of God in your life. And that's why we come to church. Not just to have fellowship, we come to church because we want to think different. We want to believe in a way that God's power can be displayed in our lives. I'll write this down. Everything is created twice. Say it with me. Everything is created twice. You say, what do you mean? You have to spiritually create it first before it is physically created. It's everything is created twice. Not just once, twice. And where people fail to understand is this is the key for the kingdom of God and the will of God to reign in your finances, to reign in your body, to reign in your family. This is the key. You've got to spiritually create from your thinking your dreams and visions that God wants you to have in your life. Look at this verse, 1 John chapter 5. And it says this. It says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Watch this. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitioned, that we have asked of him. Now, this is very important you see this. Jesus said this in a different way in John 8. He said this. If you continue in my word or remain in my word, he says, you shall know the truth. And that truth will set you free. But notice, you have to know the truth before it'll set you free. So you have to spend that time remaining in his word until what you're thinking about, you know. And a lot of people are not willing to take the time necessary to do that. How many know in the Bible it says all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus? But how many know many times when we pray, we don't get them? And the reason why we don't get them is for this reason. And it's a simple reason. It'd be like me telling you, listen, I want to do this project at church, and I have an unlimited budget, and I want you to build this. Whatever you need to build it is yes. I'll give you the money for it. So you go out and you begin to order stuff. Then you come back to get a check from me. You got to get the check. The answer is yes, but you got to get a check for the manifestation of the answer to come. Amen? That's why the Bible says that we are to draw near to God. We're to pray to God and believe we receive. The answer is yes, but we have to receive. You have to receive the check. You have to receive from God before what you know is God's will can be manifested in your life. Hallelujah. And I think sometimes we miss that point and we want to, you know, get it quickly or without really knowing that what he promises is yours. Now, don't get silent on me. Don't go, boy, Pastor, I wanted something simple. No, you have to diligently seek after it to receive it. Matthew 6:31, Paul said something about, Jesus said something about worry that I think is significant. And you won't see it just reading your Bible translation. But he says, don't say, what shall we eat, what shall we wear, what shall we drink, He's not talking about saying it once. In the Greek, it's talking about continuously say this. He's saying, if you continually say what you're worried about, your faith will grow small. And you will know that something good is not going to happen to you because you've continued in thinking unbelief and fear in your life. The positive side is this, that if I take the word of God and I let my mind begin to think about it, and I not just one time, but continually think about it, eventually what I'm thinking about, I will know. And once I know, manifestations come. Healing comes. Doors are opened. Breakthrough comes. Restoration comes. Once you know. So you think until you know. And then once you know, you have believed. And once that happens, man, you're in a great shape. But this is why there's a perseverance in our prayer life that sometimes people don't do, that is necessary to believe for things that are hard and difficult. One of my favorite stories about this, I have my own stories, but this is one I always loved. It was from one of the largest churches in the world, the largest church, Dr. Cho's church. He's with Jesus now, but when he was alive, in his church, they were running about 1 million people a weekend. And this lady came up to him and said, "Pastor, you gotta help me. I got this disease that's gonna kill me if you don't fix it." And the pastor realized she's just looking at him and not the Lord. I can't do something with somebody like she. He could sense that she didn't have the faith. So he said, "I want you to go to our prayer mountain," because they were famous for their prayer mountain. They were praying on that 24 hours a day. And he said, "I want you to write down the healing verses, and I want you to go up there and keep reading those verses and writing them down until the answer comes." And I don't know if it was the 300th time, 400th time, or 500th time, but finally, the manifestation came and she was healed. It was God's will before she even started writing. But she didn't know yet. She had it in her mind, but she hadn't thought about it to the point that she knew it. It's one thing to think your wife loves you. It's another thing to know she loves you. Say amen. It's one thing to think you're going to be okay. It's another thing to know you're going to be okay. And that's why we have to continually think on these things, so that we continually have this knowingness that goes off in our heart where God is going to come through and manifest. Now, here's a big question. When does the manifestation come? When does the manifestation come in your marriage? When does the manifestation come in your finances? When does it come? It comes the moment you believe. Now, get this. I don't want you to miss this. If you remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he said, "No one shall eat fruit of you again." 24 hours later, it was withered up and it had died. The question is, when did it wither? Did it wither the moment he spoke to it, or did it take 24 hours later to wither? No, the moment he spoke to it, it died. Just like when you buy roses for your wife on her anniversary or just a birthday, those are all dead. They look alive, but they're dead. Soon as he spoke to that fig tree, it died. The moment he believed that it was cursed, it died. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, I don't know if my manifestation has come." As soon as you believe, it is sent. Thank you. In other words, soon as I believe, God has sent it to you. It may take a few days to get there, or even months or years, but it's sent. Let me prove it to you. Remember the story of Jairus. He was a religious leader, came to Jesus, and he went to Jesus, and his daughter was very sick, and he said, "If you come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed." In other words, he believed that if Jesus laid his hands on her, she would be restored. Jesus agreed to it. Now watch. the Holy Spirit in Christ agreed with his desire. So Jesus goes with him. Now, I know he stopped off, and there was a delay because the woman with an issue of blood was healed, but the moment he believed, healing was sent to him. It was sent to him in Jesus. My question to you is, has your prosperity been sent? Has your healing been sent? Because listen, even if you don't see anything in the natural, soon as you believe, there's a manifestation. Remember the story of Daniel. Daniel started fasting 21 days before the angel appeared to him. And the angel came and said, I've come for your words that were spoken 21 days before. In other words, as soon as he believed, God said, sent that angel. There, your angels are sent as soon as you believe. That's when the manifestation happens. That's when there's a manifestation that God has sent your prosperity, your healing, your deliverance. It is sent. It is sent. It is sent. Your boat is coming in. I see the smokestack coming, praise God. The blessing is sent. Your healing is sent. Your deliverance is sent. Your mountain moving power is sent. It's all sent. Sent. Come on, everybody. Praise God. Woo. I wanted you to see that because sometimes we think it isn't sent until we see the finished product of it. But as soon as you believe, there's a material revelation of it that has ushered in spiritual forces that are moving in the direction that you need to move to. Turn to someone, say right now, and say, my blessing's sent. Turn to someone else and say, my manifestation is here. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is very important. Because I'm talking about more than just positive thinking. I'm talking about handling the Word of God. You can go to seminars, success seminars, and they'll say positive thinking will produce this and whatever, and there's a certain results to that. I'm talking about it always works when it's God's will. All things are always possible to the one who believes. Now watch this carefully. Isaiah 55:11 says that his word will not return void. The only thing that could cause it to return void is if you wavered at the word that you were believing. But if you believe the word that he says, I don't care how big the mountain is. I don't care how bad the financial problem is. I don't care how devastating the sickness is. If you don't waver, that word will not return void. It'll accomplish the healing. It'll accomplish the increase. It'll bring it all. Glory to God. Whew. But you have to understand that this isn't just because you're a positive thinker. It's because you've thought on the word until the Spirit of God bore witness to it. And now it's alive. Now you know it. I know I'm healed, not because Scripture says so, but because the Holy Spirit has in fact bore witness to it in my life. And everybody loves babies. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to take a look here in Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to show you the perspective here that'll help. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Let's stop right there. How many ladies know what it's like to have your husband not give you attention? We're going to have an altar call for liars later. He's watching the game, and you want him to look at you and communicate with you. My wife, she'll take my face, literally, and she'll point it towards her. Say, please look at me right now. Don't look at that. We'll go to a restaurant. She says, let's move. I said, well, we just got our seat. I said, no, we got to get away from the TV set. You keep watching the game. So attention here means that you focus in on the word and you're not distracted by what someone else said. You're not distracted by your emotions. You focus in on the word. And he says, do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you do that, by the way, that you think? Whatever you predominantly think about, you will bring to pass in your life. You got to continually keep God's word in your mind, wrestling over it over and over again. And the more you do that, it will bring forth the blessing in your life in a great way. Can you say amen? Now, we're all excited right now, aren't we? Praise God, we're ready to go. But let me, if I could, I'm going to show you some practical insight into what I just preached in relationships. Have you ever did a study on people that have won the lottery? I would say that 9 out of 10 of them lose everything that they got. And the reason for that is their belief system was not the right kind of belief. It doesn't do any good to give somebody money that doesn't have the right mindset. If they have a poverty mindset, you can give them millions and it'll be gone in a couple years. You have to change the way you believe on the inside to keep the blessing on the outside. Are you following me? And so this is something that Joyce and I learned years ago, because when we were first in ministry, we were really broke. And I told her, I said, I don't want to ever go to the mall. And she said, why? Because I said, we can't buy anything. Why go down there if you can't buy anything? And then the Lord began to minister to me and said, you got poverty thinking. And then I came across the verse that says that we're to be content in whatever state we're in. You know what content means? It means self-sufficient. And God said, the problem with you is that you don't believe that you are spiritually sufficient to have your needs met. And the Lord rebuked me and said, listen, you have me inside of you. You have all the spiritual resources you need to meet any need that you need in your life. It has nothing to do with what's in your checking account. It has nothing to do with what's in the savings account. You have me, and you can be content in every situation because you have the spiritual resources in me to have those needs met in your life. And I said, baby, let's go. Now, I still didn't go out and buy something. I didn't have any money in the bank to do it. But if I saw something that I felt was for me, I would just believe in faith for it. And I want to be truthfully about it. Everything I've ever wanted has come. I take that back. I take that back. There is some other things. We're talking money. But
it's on its way.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. But the point that I wanted you to see from this is your belief system has to change. And I'm going to explain why a lot of marriages end up in trouble. I know you're not going to like this. A lot of men and women get married, but they have the mindset of somebody that's single. Now, let me throw that out again here. A lot of couples get married, but they still have the mindset of being single. Independent. I want to be able to do my things I did when I was single. I want to be able to be independent. I'll go to bed when I want to go to bed. I'll get up when I want to get up. I'll spend my money in the way I want to do it. You'll never have a good marriage that way, because when you get married, you become one flesh, which means everything your wife has is yours and everything you have is your wife's. And the way that you treat your wife is the way that you treat yourself. So you can readily see, I don't believe in separate checking accounts. Ooh, I know, praise the Lord. Now, I'm saying that because when you get married, you have to change the way you think about your life. Now, everything I do affects her, and everything she does affects me. Now we're a team. You know, now we're a team. Before, I was a single. Tennis. Now we're a team. And that's why you see a lot of conflicts in marriages, because they haven't changed the way they think. And especially in the society that we live in. Come on now. You know, society we live in, the woman calls the shots. She's the superhero. She does everything. You got to change the way you think if you want to have a biblical-based marriage. Because you can't keep what God gives you without the right kind of thinking to create the right kind of belief. It just won't work. Now, I'm going to go a little farther with this. This is why living with someone you're not married to doesn't work. Because you're trying to have the benefits that you would have in a commitment without the commitment. You know, I want to, you know what they say? You know, why buy the cow if you get the milk free? But you're trying to have what you would have if you had married each other, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. And there's a commitment there. And so you're trying to have that, but your belief system is wrong. I said it's wrong, everybody. I don't care about our society. Our society says that, you know, you don't need to get married and all that stuff. It's a bunch of poop. It's not right. If you want to be happy with a relationship, you got to sell out. Baby, it's all yours. My life is yours. We're going to do this together. Man, praise God. I'm going to love you when you're grumpy. I'm going to love you when you're not. I'm going to love you when you get a few stretch marks. I'm going to love you when you don't got stretch marks. Come on, I'm going to love you, honey, when you got six tab. I'm going to love you when you got a kegger. Praise God. And when you build that on the Lord, it will thrive in your life. It'll be awesome. So the belief system is extremely important. And so my purpose today is that we would say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. I'm not believing correctly. And I'm not believing correctly because I'm not thinking right. My thinking has come from carnal thinking. It's come from a world. It's come from things that are not from you. I need to change that. Now, let me give you a key here that'll help. You come to church, get your mind renewed. As soon as you leave that building, thoughts will come in. Doubt will come in. How do you get rid of the doubt? How do you get rid of the doubt that you're not going to get out of the mess you're in? How do you get rid of the doubt that mountain's going to be removed? How do you get rid of it? Most Christians will say, I'll try. And the harder they try not to doubt, the more they give power to doubt. You never think about your doubts, or you'll give power to your doubts. In other words, if I'm doubting, it's because I'm thinking about the doubt. You can't resist it that way. The Bible never says to resist the doubt. It says resist steadfast in your faith. In other words, you take your faith and you put it in the place of your doubt. They said this for years. They said, when doubt knocks on the door of faith answers, doubt will leave. But the problem is, if doubt keeps knocking at your door, faith won't even answer. You have to replace the doubt with your faith. You do that, and your faith will grow stronger. Because whatever you feed gets stronger. Feed your fears, it gets stronger. Feed your doubts, it gets stronger. And we always have those doubts. You're not going to make it. You're not going to get any better. You're not going to make any more money. You're not going to get that house. You're not going to do this. You don't feed that doubt by thinking about it. You do it by replacement. You put the word, nope, word of God says, my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Word of God says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you replace it. And as you do that, and then you visualize whatever it is that you desire, that's when the manifestation is sent. You say, well, I don't understand visualization. Listen to me. Any thought that you see in a picture is visualization. Any thought that you have that you have a picture of it, you are visualizing for. Elijah prayed that it would rain. You know how he did it? He got down on his knees, put his head between his eyes, and he heard it raining. Why did he hear it raining? Because he was visualizing the clouds forming and the clouds raining. And as soon as he did, there was a small cloud that appeared the size of a hand, and the rest is history. It began to fold out. Whoo! The manifestation came as soon as he believed. Whether it was angels sent or a physical manifestation, it started the moment he believed. That's why he kept sending the servant out while he visualized the answer. I want us to visualize Washington State being saved. I want you to visualize that Washington State is not the least religious out of the states in the United States, which some ungodly man says is so. I'm telling you, devil, that it's not that way because we're here. Hallelujah. So this is how you pray. It's by your thoughts. You have pictures to your thoughts, and when you do that, the manifestation is sent. And as it goes, I tell you what, it'll bless you in a great way. And everyone that loved Jesus said amen and amen. Amen. Now, let me show you this. 1 Corinthians 15:19. I want to give a balance to this before I minister to you. Listen to this verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiable. In other words, you're pitied when all you do is believe for what's in this life. I'm believing I'm getting a new car. No, it's more than that. I believe I'm going to get some financial increase. It's more than that. I believe I'm going to get a bigger house. It's more than that. Don't limit it to this life. Your faith is going to be tested in this life, but the objective is not this life. The bottom line, the Bible says the earth is going to be burned up by fire. Your car's going to get burned up. Your house is going to get burned up. Your yard's going to get burned up. Your money's going to get burned up. It's all going to get burned up. But the faith that you use right now in the life to come, if it survives the fire, it says you'll receive an eternal reward. In other words, I'm looking for the day I'll stand before the judgment of Christ, and the Lord says, I'm going to give you an eternal reward because you stood in faith for this and this and this and this, and when it was tested, you kept believing, and I'm going to give you an eternal reward. I'm going to set up your position during the millennium. You're going to rule with me for 1,000 years, and I'm going to give you not just a cabin down the street. I'm going to give you a big mansion over here. Hallelujah. So it's about eternity. In other words, the end result is eternity, the blessings that are eternal. It is the miracles that we see right now are tips to the iceberg. What is really important is after this life. Let me describe it to you this way, because some of you are sports fans. The teams that play football, it's not all about winning a game in the beginning. It's about winning enough games you go to the playoffs, and then winning enough games at the playoffs that you go to the Super Bowl. The objective is to win the Super Bowl. Our Super Bowl is in the life to come. Every healing, every soul that is saved, it is all for the life to come. And that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about the resurrected bodies. They will vary in glory depending on what a person's faith did in this lifetime. In other words, in Daniel, it says that those that win many people to Christ, it says they will have a they will shine with a level of glory that people who didn't win the people to Christ will not have. And that is eternal in your life. I want a light up in heaven. I don't want a little shack down the road, man. Hallelujah. So when you look at it from that standpoint, it will really help you. Now let me have everybody stand up right now, and I'm going to show you some things that'll help. Pastor Jim, could you come up here? I want to show them something. I want to show you that the way that you resist doubt is different than what most people think. You don't resist doubt because you try really hard not to doubt. It empowers the doubt. Let me give you an example. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, he says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. How many are familiar with that verse? He's not talking about sit there and let somebody beat you up. Because most people are right-handed. So if I strike him on the right cheek, I am insulting him. I'm not punching him. I'm insulting him. So Jesus says, if somebody insults you, don't think by retaliation that's the way you're going to overcome it. Doubt is the same way. Thank you. That's all I wanted to do is show that. Doubt is the same way. Doubt is resisted by faith, not by trying not to doubt. And many of you came here today, and there's all kinds of doubts in your life, that you'll find a spouse, that you'll make the money you need for your family, that you'll get this or get that job or whatever it may be. And I'm telling you right now, that doubt cannot be resisted by the flesh. Only faith can overcome it. But once you apply that faith, doubt runs and hides. You know what comes in its place? Peace that guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the more that you know, the more you flow? The more you know of God, the more you'll flow in the anointing. The more you know of God, the more you'll be healed. The more you know of God, the more you'll prosper. When what you know, you'll flow in. Not just head knowledge, but knowing it in your life. I did this illustration first service, and I'm going to do it again here. Because people make this mistake when it comes to the gospel. And especially when you preach the way I preach. Preaching the promises. They chase after the promises. Go to the river, chase after the promises. You'll never catch the promises that way. The promises are never designed you to chase after them. They're designed to chase after you. Yes. Remember Deuteronomy 28:2, what does it say? It says that these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. They're chasing you down. They got their little siren on. They're going after you. Now, let me give you an example. Baby, come over here. I'm going to use my wife as an example. Now, keep in mind, she's had knee surgery. Two knee surgeries. And she is going to be the individual that wants the blessing in her life. And I'm going to be the blessing. I'm going to be all the spiritual blessings right here. Now, I want you to try to catch me. This is going to cost me. Now, notice she can't catch me. She can't catch me. But it's like when you meet the girl that you really fall in love with, she never has to worry about you chasing after her. In fact, he'll be annoying for quite a few years. All you have to do is look pretty and be your gorgeous self, and he will be attracted to you.
Come on, Jack.
Now, here's the thing. I want you to try to get away from me.
Uh-oh.
I'm the blessing. Oh, baby, baby, baby. Oh. Yeah. Woo. So pray for Pastor after church, okay? Now, I want you to bow your heads with me right now. I want you to take a serious moment here, Remember this, you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you. You can't be saved because someone has a better argument to be saved than someone that doesn't. You can only be saved when the Holy Spirit draws you. Because you can't know without that. You can't know that you need salvation without the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.